What a beautiful song for us to sing and pray together tonight. The night we remember Jesus giving his followers the command to love one another after he was gone. You may have caught in the reading a few minutes ago that Jesus said this was a new command. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you." A new commandment? Really? Was it? Doesn't Leviticus tell us that during those 40 years that the people of Israel were wandering in the wilderness with Moses, God had commanded them to love their neighbors as themselves? Hadn't that command been at the heart of Jewish law since way back then? The disciples would have known this well. They would have been taught that as young children. It would have been as familiar to them as those words, love God and love others, are for us as Christians. So why was Jesus saying this command to love one another was new? How was it new? Well, let's compare the two. From Leviticus, the old command says to love your neighbor as yourself. And in our reading today, Jesus' words to his friends are, love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It's that middle bit. The part where he says, even as I have loved you. It seems that Jesus feels the need to refine what is meant by God's command that we love each other. It's not just any old love. It's not the love that each of us thinks is best. It's not even the love that you or I might want. Rather, the call is for us to love in the same way that Jesus had loved them. So often these days, I think when we start talking about love, we end up talking about what love feels like. But Jesus seems to be leading us away from this primacy of feeling to a better focus. Instead of wondering what love feels like, Jesus' new command leads us to ask ourselves, well, what does love look like? That's the question. What did the love that Jesus had shown his friends look like? What did it look like on this fateful night? In this story, Jesus powerfully enacts love. He could have been the guest of honor at this dinner. He certainly should have been, and maybe he was. But regardless, guest of honor or not, ever attentive, as he sat together with his friends, he looked around and he realized that a simple chore had actually been overlooked. It was something that should have been taken care of when they'd all first come into the room and gathered together, but it hadn't been. Either they'd forgotten, or no one had noticed, or perhaps no one was willing to do it. So Jesus takes it upon himself to take care of it. So he steps away from his place at the table, and as our reading said, he takes off his outer garments and he wraps a towel around his waist. He filled probably some kind of bowl or basin with water from a jug, and then he knelt before each person there, tenderly washing the sweat and the dirt and the grime from each of their hard, likely calloused feet. It was a messy act. Nothing pretty about it. It was an intimate act. This washing of their feet was what love looked like in that moment. But there's more to see, more beyond the messiness and the intimacy. If we look again through the lens of Jewish culture and practice, we realize that this was also an act that Jesus really shouldn't have done. No devout Jewish man would literally stoop to such a task. It was reserved for only the lowliest of servants. And if there was no one there that met that description, then social practice said that you would each be responsible for washing your own feet. You would never, ever have expected anyone else to do it for you, least of all your respected teacher, your master, the one that you find yourself calling Lord. That Jesus would take up the basin and towel is astounding. And if we continue looking a little more closely again, this time through the lens of friendship, we see something even more profound than Jesus' humility and his willingness to break with social custom. No one sitting around that table that night was left out. He knelt in front of every person who was gathered there. He washed each of their feet. Now remember, these are the disciples who have gathered. They were the same followers he knew were about to scatter once he was arrested. Almost all of those 12 would run and hide, fearful for their lives. Only one of them would stay to support Jesus' mother and the other women he was closest to when they stood under the cross and watched him die a horrific death the next day. The rest of them would all be gone. And Jesus knew this. Just a few minutes later in the same conversation, he says to Peter, "Before the cock crows, you are going to have denied knowing me." His closest followers were about to abandon him in his most difficult hour. And still, he washed their feet. Facing that disappointment and the knowledge that those friends were about to let him down in the most painful way, Jesus' response was to love them. Even more astonishing, one set of those feet washed that night, they belonged to Judas. John has told us in this reading that Jesus knew. He knew he was about to be betrayed to those who wanted to kill him. And it's also clear that he knew exactly who was going to do the betraying. Even knowing what Judas was about to do and what was about to happen as a result of that, still, Jesus washed his feet. His response to being betrayed by a dear friend and to the work of evil that was going to come about as a result of that betrayal, Jesus' response to all of that was to love that friend. No one there that night was exempt. No one. Not even Judas. There was nothing anyone had done or was about to do that would disqualify them. Everyone experienced that grace enacted in this intimate, humble, self-giving act of love from the man who was also God in human flesh. In the words of William Barclay, the wonderful thing about Jesus was that his nearness to God, so far from separating him from men, actually brought him nearer to them than ever. In love, God came close in Christ to show us exactly what love looks like. And for Jesus' friends and followers on that night, it looked exactly like having their friend, their Lord, their God, kneel before each of them. Imagine that. And wash their feet clean of the day's dirt. I think that Jesus has very intentionally added this new part to the command to love each other. The part that specifies that we are to love each other as he has loved us. It is crucial for a couple of reasons. The first is pretty obvious. In his life, Jesus has given us an example, a model to follow as we try to live out this command to love others. And that model is important, and it can be really, really helpful for us at times. But alone, the model is not enough. So there's another vital reason for us to remember. This new part of the command, even as I have loved you, it inherently draws our minds back to remember how Jesus has loved each of us. Even as I have loved you. How have you experienced his love? What happened to convince you that Jesus loves you? The actual act of remembering that can be very, very powerful. As you stop and remember what Jesus' love for you has looked like, you remember it and in a way time dissolves and you even experience it once again. And that does something very important. By God's design, it is in our own experience of Jesus' love that we each discover everything we need to be able to love each other. On our own, even with our best efforts and intentions, we can't follow Jesus' example. History's proven that. It's only in our actually having been loved by him and remembering that experience that we're able to love at all. The only one of the 12 who didn't abandon Jesus after his arrest said it best many years later as he reflected on his own experiences of following Jesus. In his first letter, the Apostle John briefly and succinctly named it. We love because he first loved us. God has called us to love each other. And so in love, God came close in Christ to show us exactly what that love looks like. And for Jesus' friends and followers on this night, it looked like the profound experience of having him kneel in humility and in grace to wash their feet. Tomorrow, for all of us, it will look like that's tomorrow. So until then, amen.